Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On March 17, 2008, the court heard oral argument in Republic of the Philippines v. Pimentel, a case involving a dispute over the assets of former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos. The court was asked whether the Philippines, having been dismissed from the interpleader action based on its successful assertion of sovereign immunity, had the right to appeal the district court's determination that it is not an indispensable party under Rule 19b, and whether they have the right to seek this court's review of the Court of Appeals opinion affirming the district court. Vince Witowski, a partner in Edwards, Engel, Palmer, and Dodge, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Attorney Witowski.
As president of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos stole government money and property and was infamous for human rights violations. In 1972, Marcos created a corporation called Arelma and opened an account in its name at Merrill Lynch in New York. He deposited $2 million, which has now grown to approximately $35 million. The Supreme Court case began as an interpleader commenced by Merrill Lynch to determine who should receive the assets in the account. At this stage, there are two remaining claimants. The first is the Philippines, which makes claim under a Philippine statute providing that any property acquired by a public officer through misuse of his office is forfeited to the government. The other claimants, the Pimentel claimants, are the prevailing class members in a human rights case in the Federal District Court in Hawaii. The class consists of over 9,500 people who were subjected to torture, disappearance, or summary execution. They obtained a $2 billion judgment against the Marcos estate. In the interpleader, the Philippines successfully asserted sovereign immunity and was dismissed. However, the district court went on to find that the Philippines was not an indispensable party under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 19B and awarded the assets in the account to the Pimentel claimants. The Ninth Circuit affirmed, basing its decision in part on its conclusion that an action by the Philippines would be time-barred by the New York Statute of Limitations on misappropriation of government funds. At the court's direction, the briefs address the question of whether the Philippines has standing to appeal. The Philippines argued that because it was named in the action at the outset, it remained a party, and that protection of its rights depended upon successful assertion of sovereign immunity in conjunction with dismissal of the action. The U.S. filed an amicus brief in support of the Philippines. It argued that if a defendant remains a party for purposes of defending an appeal, it should also be a party for purposes of taking an appeal. In opposition, the Pimentel claimants argued that because of the strategic choices made by the Philippines, it lost its status as a party. As to the Rule 19B issues, the preliminary question is the standard of review. The Pimentel claimants argued that the standard should be abuse of discretion because 19B determinations are fact-intensive and requiring a balancing of interest based on pragmatic considerations. Under Rule 19A, an entity must be joined as a party if it claims an interest relating to the subject of the action and is so situated that the disposition of the action in the person's absence may, as a practical matter, impair or impede the person's ability to protect that interest. Such an entity is generally referred to as a necessary party. The key step comes next. Under Rule 19B, if a necessary party cannot be joined, the court shall determine whether, in equity and good conscience, the action should proceed or should be dismissed, the absent person being thus regarded as indispensable. Now, the Philippines argued that the sovereign immunity of a necessary party is a substantive factor that should be compelling and that, without more, generally requires dismissal of the action. It cited two cases involving the U.S., the 50 states, and Indian tribes. The U.S. brief does not go quite so far. It argues that sovereign immunity is different from other considerations, so it should have received greater weight than it did. The Pimentel claimants argued that an interpleader is not a claim against the sovereign, but merely an invitation to make a claim. so many of the policy considerations underlying sovereign immunity are not present. Now, Rule 19B identifies four non-exclusive factors for consideration in determining whether an action should proceed. The first is the extent to which a judgment rendered in the person's absence would be prejudicial to that person or existing parties. The Ninth Circuit understood that the interest of the Philippines in the account was entirely impaired by the interpleader, but nevertheless dismissed because it believed the Philippines could not prevail on the merits. The Philippines argued that the strength or merits of the absent party's claim generally has no place in the Rule 19B analysis. The concern is with a claimed interest, unless the claimed interest is patently frivolous. It also argued that if it were forced to bring an action against Merrill Lynch, the New York statute of limitations would not be an obstacle. Such an action would involve an attempt to enforce the judgment of the Sandaigbayan, an anti-corruption court in the Philippines, and would be premised on the refusal to transfer the assets in response to the Philippines' request. The U.S. brief took the view that there may be circumstances in which it is appropriate to give consideration to the underlying merits, but that it is problematic to assess the merits of an absent party's own claim when the party's absence is due to sovereign immunity. The Pimentel claimants argued that, having prevailed on the merits following years of hard-fought and expensive litigation, they would be severely prejudiced by a dismissal. They also argued that dismissal would prejudice Merrill Lynch by ensnaring it in future lawsuits. The second Rule 19B factor is the extent to which prejudice could be lessened or avoided by protective provisions or other measures. With all parties claiming all of the same account, no one argued that this would be possible here. The third factor is whether a judgment rendered in the person's absence would be adequate. The Ninth Circuit found the judgment adequate because, although the assets would not satisfy the entire $2 billion judgment, the symbolic significance of some tangible recovery is not to be disregarded. Each class member would initially receive $2,000. The Ninth Circuit noted that in a country where the median per capita income is $1,600 a year, this will have monetary meaning for the poor among them. The Philippines argued that this analysis misses the point because the rule is not concerned with whether the judgment is adequate to one of the claimants. Instead, the concern is the public stake in settling disputes in their entirety. The fourth Rule 19B factor is whether the plaintiff would have an adequate remedy if the action were dismissed for non-joinder. Here, the Philippines argued that questions regarding the availability of a remedy to the Pimentel claimants should not even arise until after resolution of pending litigation in the Philippines concerning whether the assets are the property of the Marcos estate or the Philippine government. The Pimentel claimants argued that the rule implicitly recognizes that in the absence of a necessary party, finality may be imperfect. They argued that a judgment binding on all the parties except the Philippines would be the best that can be achieved. The four factors identified in Rule 19B are not exclusive, and the courts can consider other factors important to equity and good conscience. The Philippines argued that this dispute concerns the ownership of assets stolen in the Philippines by its former president, and the claimants are virtually all citizens of the Philippines. So this dispute is really between the Philippines and its citizens. It also argued that the Ninth Circuit approach will cause friction in U.S. relations with the Philippines. The Pimentel claimants disagreed, pointing out that in the amicus brief filed by the U.S., there is no broad assertion that the case will present significant difficulties with regard to any U.S. foreign policy interest or will undermine U.S. relations with the Philippines. That is essentially correct, as the U.S. brief only said that the case has led to complications in foreign relations. The Pimentel claimants also pointed out an inconsistency between the present position of the Philippines and its position in an amicus brief it filed in the underlying human rights action in 1987. That earlier brief said, without hesitation or reservation, foreign relations with the United States will not be adversely affected if these human rights claims are heard in U.S. courts. In fact, relations may well be improved if Filipino citizens see that justice is available in U.S. courts. During the oral argument, Justices Ginsburg and Souter pressed counsel for the Philippines on these inconsistent positions. The Pimentel claimants also pointed out that the Philippines had filed or was a party to at least a dozen cases in U.S. courts seeking to recover Marcos' assets, but never asserted immunity in any of them. The Philippines participated in at least two other interpleader actions without asserting immunity or indispensability. The Pimentel claimants argued that, in essence, the Philippines was gaming the U.S. legal system. The Philippines offered another consideration, which was the impact of this action on the broader system of international efforts to combat official corruption. It said that a central principle of that system is that misappropriated assets should be returned to the country of origin. That policy is recognized in the UN Convention Against Corruption and the Treaty on Mutual Legal Assistance on Criminal Matters. The U.S. argued that the convention and treaty contemplate cooperation by the two countries and presupposes the existence of jurisdiction in Philippine courts over assets located in the U.S. and vice versa. The Pimentel claimants countered that they have, as a practical matter, been barred from proceeding in the Philippines, so any judgment obtained there would be ineligible for recognition under the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty. They further argued that other international treaties ratified by the U.S. require it to provide remedies to human rights victims, citing to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the UN Convention on Torture. The U.S. noted that the Torture Convention was ratified with the understanding that a private right of action is required only for acts of torture committed in the territory under the jurisdiction of that party. Merrill Lynch also filed an amicus brief in which it said it was neutral as to the rightful ownership and disposition of the account. Yet in substance, it supported the Pimentel claimants by arguing that the test proposed by the Philippines, under which sovereign immunity is a showstopper, would threaten the viability of the interpleader process and subject financial institutions to unfair and unpredictable litigation, uncertainty, and delay. Merrill argued that an affirmance of the judgment would discharge it from liability to any claimant other than the Philippines. That would end the dispute unless and until the Philippines were to file a new action against Merrill. Merrill said that such an action would be subject to dismissal on numerous legal and equitable grounds, including the New York statute of limitations. It said that although this would be an imperfect solution, it would be the least inequitable one because any prejudice to the Philippines would be of its own making. In conclusion, a decision in favor of the Philippines would prevent erosion of foreign sovereign immunity by eliminating pressure on a sovereign to voluntarily participate in an action in order to protect its interests. A decision in favor of the Pimentel claimants would prevent foreign sovereigns from holding disputed funds hostage through their inaction and would aid human rights victims in their search for compensation. It would also help financial institutions invoke the aid of U.S. courts in determining the ownership of particular assets. Thus, this case presents an unusual and interesting alignment of the positions of human rights victims and financial institutions. Also, because the application of the commercial activities exception to sovereign immunity is not always clear, the decision may have implications in cases concerning sovereign wealth funds. Thank you for your time and attention in listening to this podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.